Welcome to the series on steps to becoming a disciple of Jesus. In the previous sessions, I talked about that Jesus commanded us to go make disciples. And you can't make a disciple, but you can be a disciple. But you, and only you, can determine if you are going to be a disciple of Jesus. And then I talked about the four steps that I believe that are imperative, that over the 40 years I've been in the ministry, of really after I had an encounter with God, I believe these four steps are crucial. So the last session talked about you have to have a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. You need to be born again, you need to be baptized in water, and you need to be baptized in the Spirit. And so those are imperative. I share a little bit about what happened to me. In August of 82, I went to a James Robinson meeting and really had a life-changing encounter with God. It was the baptism of the Holy Spirit that happened to me. I didn't even know what that really was. Nobody really talked about, do you want to be baptized in the Spirit? They said, do you want to be filled with the Spirit? And I said, yes, I want everything that God has for me. And I take off all the reservations. I want it all. And so that's what really happened to me. Right after that is when this session, I'm going to talk about discovering the truth that makes you free. The bottom line is that you have to be in the Word of God. And really what happened was is that the apostles, if we go back to Acts chapter 2, right after what Peter had told the disciples they needed to do, remember, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, I'm going to stop there because we'll pick the rest of that verse up in the next session. But what happened after we got out of that particular weekend meeting is that James invited this man named Milton Green, who was at the point in time had been a carpet cleaner. God had changed his life through the Word of God. And he did what was called In the Word Seminar. And he would go and spend 3 days, literally, 8 to 5, reading the Word, commenting on it. And we'd take breaks, and we'd take a break for lunch. But we spent 3 days in the Word Seminar. So I went to the very first one, and it was, wow, it was overwhelming. I'd never read so much of the Bible. And when I went home, Susan asked, goes, well, tell me what you learned. And I thought, it's impossible. I mean, there is so much that it's just overwhelming. It was phenomenal, but it was so much. And she said, well, I want to go. So the next one he did was only a few weeks later. And so I went with her, and so we went there, and I mean, I saw more the second time in the Word. It was alive. It was coming alive to me, and saw more that time than really the first time I went, obviously. And so Susan was overwhelmed too. She goes, this is just so much. I mean, I need to go back another time because I had already commented how much I'd received the second time I went to the Bible study. So she said, will you go back with me? I said, no, I've been twice. I don't want to do that again. You know, I've been there, done that. It's like going to school. I took that course and, you know, I reviewed it a little bit. I got it. And so, but at the same time, she kept on, said, would you go with me? So finally I did. So it was her second time to go to the N-Word seminar, in the Word, and it was my third time. And so I went. I thought, you know, I'm not going to take notes or anything. I'm just going to take my Bible, and I'm just going to read along when he reads the Scripture. Well, it started at 8 in the morning. By 9 o'clock, I'd already seen more than I'd seen the first two combined. I mean, it was life-changing. And so I went to the next 7 in a row. I mean, I went every time that he did these for a number of months because the Word of God changed my life. Now, we've already mentioned that if you want to be a disciple, you have to abide in his Word. Back to John chapter 8. Verse 31, it says, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if, and always that issue is, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. It's impossible to be a disciple without abiding in the word. It's impossible. There's no other way around it. When Jesus was confronted by the devil in Luke chapter 4, he basically says, man does not live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, think about that for just a minute. First time he is encountered by the enemy, what he uses is the word. He says, it is written. He tells us that you have to live by the word of God. So what he's saying is, he said, look, man doesn't live by bread alone, but we do live in the natural by food. I can't live very long without partaking of food. God created us to where we have to eat and we have to live. You can go fairly long time without food, but you eventually are going to perish. So what he's saying is that just like your physical body requires bread or food to eat, your spiritual man has to have the Word of God too. We don't understand how powerful it is. The Bible, it says it's living, Hebrews 4:12, living. It's living. It's not black ink on white pages or red letter edition if you read the Gospels. But the point is that it's alive. It's not history, but there's history in it. It's not just a book to read about things. No, it's living because it says in Revelation that Jesus is the Word of God. In fact, it says in John 1 that it became flesh and dwelt among us. He was in the beginning. The beginning, the Word was in the beginning. The Word was God. So the Word itself is powerful, and He watches over His Word to perform it. And why this is so important is because, again, impossible to be a disciple of Christ without abiding, remaining, spending time in His Word. And you've got to let that Word work in our lives. But the fact of the matter is that it's just, there's no other way. And so what I discovered is that I spent time in the Word. I spent a lot of time in the Word, and it changed me. It changed my life. And it continued to work in me, and I didn't even realize what was going on till sometime later down the road. Now, I want to go to Matthew 13, and this is a very interesting passage of Scripture. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom, and he taught about the kingdom, and he made disciples, and that's what Jesus did. In Matthew chapter 13, he's talking about the kingdom of God. He tells a parable about the sower who sows seed. And I'm just going to break into this because I want to point out something here. The disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? Now he's talking, the disciples are saying, why do you do this to the multitude? You're telling them stories. He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, nor do they understand. Now, I'm going to comment on this because this is so very, very important. If you want to be a disciple, if you abide in his word, he's going to make the truth be known to you. That's what he's saying here. It's been given to you. Who's he talking to? The disciples. It's been given to you, disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But everybody else gets in parables and stories. Why? Because they're not really pursuing the Lord. They're not really wanting to be a disciple of Christ. If you want to be a disciple of Christ, it's imperative that you understand that if you want to abide in his word, he will make the truth known to you. And that's a phenomenal promise. But then this next verse is important for you to understand. Whoever has, to him will be given, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. It's like, wait a minute. Now, that I don't like that. That's not a very good, I don't like that verse. But what he's saying is, you've got to understand it's the law of use. If you exercise your muscles, they will grow. Now, it's got to be with some resistance because I exercise this a lot. and that doesn't build any muscle. But the fact is that if I put weight on there and exercise, it builds muscle. So he's saying here, look, if you have some, the word, and if you pursue truth, if you're going to discover truth, that truth is going to make you free. It is a promise that it's been given to you, disciples, to know the truth. And if you will pursue the truth and continue in the truth, it will continue to expand. So revelation of the truth of God's word is whether or not we're spending time in it. And he's saying, likewise, if you choose not to and you withdraw and you don't spend time in the word, then even what you have is going to shrink. So it's like, wow. Because why? Because it's living. It's active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And so it's very, very important for us to understand that you, again, determine. No one can make you get into the Word of God. No one can make you be a disciple of Christ. Now, here's one thing that I want to go to. That's the reason we need to fully, completely embrace the Holy Spirit. Because in John chapter 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's introducing to them, basically, in chapters 14, 15, and 16, the Holy Spirit. He says it's to our advantage that the Holy Spirit comes. But I just want to pick up here in verse 13. This is John chapter 16, verse 13. However, when he, the personal pronoun, the Spirit of truth has come. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And this is why it's so important to fully, completely embrace the Holy Spirit. Take off all the reservations, all the restrictions, all the limitations. We must have Him. He is God with us right now. He is the Spirit. He has come. He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said He will take of Mine and declare it to you. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us into truth. So we have the truth of God's Word, and we have the Spirit who God has given to us to guide us into the truth. So it's imperative that we have both of those things working in our lives. Now, there are five basic steps to really growing in the Word of God. And this is practical. Number one, the easiest way for you to get in the Word is to hear the Word. You're hearing the Word right now. If you watch something on YouTube or if you go to a church service, you're hearing the Word. That's good, but you've got to go deeper. The second area is you read the Word for yourself. So hearing the Word is important. Reading the Word is important. The third thing is you have to study. And again, most everybody can have lots of study apps. They're on the iPhone. They're on a computer. They're available over the internet. You can look up the Greek and the Hebrew. You can just do your own basic study without having to go to a seminary or go to some formal theological training. But you need to. You need to start looking up some words. Start looking up some of these words. It helps make the Word even come alive even more. The fourth thing is you need to memorize the Word. You need to store the Word away. And you need to, because you, again, man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So you've got to store the Word. The fifth thing is you've got to meditate on the Word. And that is not transcendental meditation, Eastern transcendental meditation where you empty yourself. No, it's very aggressively going over the Word continually, repeating it in your mind and reciting it, thinking about it, and living in it. We need all five of those. And so what God has given to me is, I think, will help you, is what I call advanced biblical foundations. Again, a dream. God gave me a picture of a monument sign that said advanced foundations. And I woke up from the dream. I was sort of frustrated because I could see there was a lot of activity, but I couldn't discern anything. And Father Claude said, this is all I want you to see. He said, advanced foundations. I said, oh, and he said, it's going to go worldwide. I thought, well, what is that? He said, what you teach is foundational truth, but it's advanced to many, and it's going to go worldwide. So that began, that was a number of years ago. We began to put things into manuals and write things down and put some order to it. And then not long after that, Cindy Jacobs, who'd been a friend for years in prophetic ministry, prophesied over my wife and myself that we were going to be on TV. And I thought, wow, I don't know that I'm a TV personality, but we continued to put these teachings into manuals and began to work them pretty diligently, trying to get this some order in these teachings that God had given to me. Not long after that, a few years later, I saw Cindy again, and she said, you know, when I gave you that prophetic word, the only thing that I knew about was the whole issue of TV. But she said, it's not TV, it's internet. God says you're supposed to get your teachings on the internet for people to use. And I said, you know, I really do believe that. And so we've been working really hard after that, and really over the last 8 or 10 years, to get these teachings into a form that's usable. And so we're now calling it Advanced Biblical Foundations. And with that, we've got a number of teachings that basically will help you be a disciple of Christ. These teachings, I will go over them in just a minute, but these teachings can be done one a week, and you can do them all in 1 year. You can basically accomplish, go through them, and we've got, not only do we have the teachings video recorded, they're basically 20, 25 minutes long each. We've got manuals that you can download and or a book that we've actually written to help you. But I'm absolutely convinced that if you want to grow in the Word, you want to discover the truth that makes you free, this teaching will help you. The first one is called The Cross to the Key. It is designed to help you discover everything that Jesus paid for us at the cross. The second one is Love, Identity, and Purpose. Discovering who you are in Christ and discovering your identity, His love for you, and why He created you is imperative if you're going to succeed and be a disciple of Christ. The next one's Free Indeed. Jesus paid in full for us to be free. The problem is not on His end. The problem is sometimes I don't know the truth well enough to understand the freedom that He actually paid for me to appropriate that into my life. So we did Free Indeed. The next one's called Hearing God. Everybody wants to hear God, and everybody wants to hear God better. Anybody hearing God. And so it's designed to help us practically commune and communicate with God. The next one's called Basic Training. Everybody in the military goes through a basic training. And the basic training is designed to help us to learn how to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The next one's called Setting the Captives Free. He wants us to be His witnesses. He wants us to represent Him. He wants us to go out there and make a difference in this world. Then we've got one based on Luke 4:18-19, which was Jesus' ministry. That ministry is for us too. So it helps us to discover that. And the last one is called Financial Freedom. Everybody has to deal with money, and we've got to learn how to handle God's money God's way. Because if we don't, the world entangles us, and we're not able to ever grow and be a disciple of Christ. So we've designed all of this to help you to grow. And so I encourage you to go to Advanced Biblical Foundations, our website, and to really start going through these teachings. They will make a difference. I actually recommend a couple of things here, and I'll mention it in another one as I share one of the sessions, but I encourage you to not go through it once. I encourage you to go through it 2 or 3 times. I encourage you to spend as much time in there as you want to in reading the book and taking notes and asking the Holy Spirit to really guide you into truth. So the second step is to discover the truth. And I want to pray for you that God would give you a hunger for the Word of God the way God gave me a hunger for the Word of God also. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we love You and bless You and thank You. I pray, Lord, that You would help us all have just a hunger, a thirst for You and for Your Word. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be disciples that abide in your word. I pray, Lord, you said you would cause it to come alive and that you, Holy Spirit, would guide us and direct us into all truth. So we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given something to us to sustain us and to cause us to grow. And I pray, Lord, that again, that you'd cause us to really spend time in your word so that we could discover the truth that makes us free. Lord, we love you, we bless you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.